Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and then put to music by Shout Even Shy, and she is the singer as well. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by AP Taylor. We are a poetry group, chat group, that hangs out on allpoetry.com, which is one of the largest sites out there and free to join. If you decide to join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tab, again, A Team of Voices, and I will meet you at the door. You can be as part of the radio show as much or as little as you would like. We hang the links to each poem used on the show on that chat wall so that you can follow along and comment. You could also read along with the link I'm about to put on the board, or you can call and hang out with us at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And you could just call and hang out or comment, or you could call and share your own poetry. We have a different show every night with different hosts and hostesses and different prompts for you to be inspired by. If you are in the chat room, you can just look above the chat wall and you will see all the topic boards for every night's show. And those topic boards begin with the date of the show. So thumb through there. And if you see a prompt that tickles your muse, we'd love to hear your poetry. And on that note, before we get started, I want to shout out to AKA Chrissy Snow, who is Suzanne Summers, who would have turned 77 today, but she passed away yesterday, October 15th, one day short of that 77th birthday. So rest in peace, Suzanne Summers, another icon gone, very sad. And, okay, now let me get this show on the road. I'm going to start with my co-host, my big brother, and the writer of the song, poem we just listened to, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Yeah. I didn't know that about Suzanne Summers. Wow.
Yeah, very sad. She had been battling breast cancer for like 20-some years. And
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And they, you know, actually a year or two ago, I think it was that soon ago, it might have been a couple years, but Christmas Snow. Sorry, I saw Stephen asked if I knew what Chrissy Snow was short for, and yeah, she was Christmas Snow.
Yeah.
That show was hysterical, and it got me thinking today that now Chrissy, Suzanne Summers, and Jack, John Ritter, are both passed away. So Janet, and sadly I can't remember her name as an actress. I should have looked it up. That's terrible. But and I learned when I went look at when I went looking to see what she passed away from and if it was because of the cancer, I saw that in that year John was making $150,000 an episode and she was making $30,000 an episode, and she's there to ask to be paid comparable. Joyce DeWitt, thank you, Stephen. Janet was Joyce DeWitt, and turns out she's Stephen's favorite. I see on the chat wall, and it was. They still do reruns on maybe that AMC or I can't think of. There's a channel that plays all classic TV and. You can watch.
Yeah, MeTV. They play them out here.
Yeah, MeTV. Gunsmoke to Three's Company and the Brady Bunch and everything in between. It was a funny show. And to think they turned her down for her request for a raise, so she stopped showing up to do the episodes. So they wrote her in less and less episodes, and then at the end of that season, they fired Chrissy. She sued them.
Her first show, the first time, she was on American Graffiti. She was the blonde and the P-Bird.
Oh, yeah? I don't know if I remembered that, or I can't picture it, actually. But she sued them.
Yeah, remember when Dreyfuss is going around town and sees this white T-Bird everywhere he goes, and she's diving. Doesn't know who it is.
No, I don't know. I can't picture it for some reason. But I read that she sued for $2 million when they fired her, and she got a really small amount, nowhere near what she had sued for. Anyway, so she's celebrating her first birthday in heaven today. Thanks for all the giggles.
I think she was.
Christmas Snow.
She was very smart.
Yeah. She played the dumb blonde very well because she was an extremely intelligent person. And as I started to say, she recently posed nude on one of her birthdays. It might have been her 76th birthday. And, gosh, we can all hope to look as good as she did at 76. Yeah, had her. Google it. But on that note, let me let some people in here because Wayne's not feeling very well, so I have to get him up on the board after Stephen. So let's say hello to Stephen, and thank you, Stephen. It would have drove me nuts. I couldn't think of her name for anything, Miss Joyce DeWitt, the sole remaining of the original three. And right behind Stephen is Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne.
Hey,
welcome to the show. Are you not feeling so great?
My body's acting up, and I got chills. I got chills or something. I don't know what it is, but I got some kind of chills, but I'll be all right.
Be careful. Have you tested for COVID? Because it's that time of year again. Just curious.
No, I didn't test for it, but I'll be all right. I'm just upset stomach and chills or something. I don't know what it is. I'll be all right.
I hope so. And right behind those gentlemen are Ms. Sweet Pea. Hey, my sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm glad you're here. Feeling better?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. I had sent a text and didn't hear back, so I was a little bit worried and didn't want to bug you, but I'm really glad you're feeling better. Now,
feeling
let me see
better.
Here. Good. I'm glad. And I haven't looked. How's your running back? Is he okay, or is he out?
I think he's going to be out for the season because,
oh, no.
You know, the Steelers, never mind me.
Yeah, I know.
Which running
know.
Back? Which one?
Sweet's running back?
McCaffrey?
Yeah, I'm old. I'm going to
choke. McCaffrey? McCaffrey? Yeah, that's his McCaffrey.
San Francisco?
No, it's Chubb.
No way. Chubb from the Browns.
Yeah, from the
Browns. Oh, okay.
Oh,
well, yeah, that's old. I'm talking about,
yeah.
I'm talking about
Chubb,
the new one. Christian McCaffrey was hurt yesterday.
Was he really?
Yeah, but, yeah,
I think
he went,
so.
He
oh,
went,
my God,
he went to the locker room.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
I
he went
know
to the locker room
yesterday.
With
yeah, he's marked questionable. He's marked questionable, so I would keep an eye out on that and see. As a matter of fact, during a conversation in the middle of the week last week, I believe Mr. A.P. Taylor was saying, damn, he's a machine. Guess he's not after all.
I love him. I love him, and I love his dad. Dad was one of my favorite players ever.
Yeah. And Hatter, what were you going to say about him?
Well, McCaffrey and Vito Samuel, they left the game early. But I don't think that he was walking off. McCaffrey was walking off the field, so...
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was for sure, but I know that they have him marked questionable. So.
But Nick Chubb, he was my mainstay last year. I'm sorry to see that's a career ending. He won't come back, I don't think. He's been in the league for 12 years, I think, 10, 12 years.
He'll brush it off. He'll come back.
Rub some dirt on it. I don't
that's
think
right.
so. That was nasty.
Right.
He said it happened before. I put something funny on the board. About it, this what happened. So you might want to check that out, Deb. Sorry.
No, I know. I get it. I mean, they're my team, but you know, nobody wants their team to do stuff like that. You know, you're supposed to be
outside
out
of the
there.
And football. I'm going to ask Stephen. How are the water spouts coming off of Lake Erie?
Whoa.
I've not been able to see that. Last week there was a record amount of water spouts out on Lake Erie, and we went for a walk to try to see them, and we didn't see one.
Oh, I was reading about that. I was like, oh, I wonder if they're seeing any of them. Sorry
about that. I just found out that Jenny is a Steelers fan, and I was just putting on the board that he and I have the same hair, sort of, and when I wear my Palomalu jersey, people come up to me from behind and sort of like bend their head around to get a look at my face, because I mean, you know, the one time I was at the casino with my dad and people kept coming up and I was like, what the heck? And here I realized that it was because they saw the name and they saw my wild hair and they thought he was in the casino. And I'm thinking to myself, like, he would really show up in his football jersey to play at the casino. Come on, people. But anyway. Now, okay. Let me see. Yeah. And I guess, you know, if it was, I don't usually buy the women's style shirts. I like the bigger baggy shirts for football shirts. So I guess if I wore one that was snug and they could see that I you know, I had some hip action going on, they might have realized I was a chick, but they wouldn't have a clue from behind in a long jersey. So they thought I was him. Get them all excited. And then talk about a bummer. You get people running up and looking and then they're like, I'm like, well, okay, nice to see you too. Try not to take it personal, you know. Okay, well, now, let's see. Stephen, how about if you tell everyone about your book series before we start the poetry tonight?
The book series that I'm actually writing a fourth for is the Eerie series. It's a three-book series at the moment. It starts off with the Eerie Depths. Second book is Eerie Ocean, and followed by the Eerie Islands, available on Amazon.com, Goodreads.com, and BarnesandNoble.com, as well as a few others now, I guess, I got picked up by. The new one's going to be called The Eerie Chasm, so watch out for that, too.
Awesome. Fabulous, fabulous. And I hope you sell a million copies, Stephen. Okay, I have your poem on the board. So how about you take us away?
All right. Well, I've also been in the process of writing another book of short stories, and this was inspired both by the photo and part of one of the short stories that I've been writing. So I call this Bed and Breakfast, Psalm 1. Crouching down between the stalks, listening as the footfalls walk, fertilizer lay on carpet waves while dumpling sopping demons crave. Hen pump.
Oh, my, oh, my. Bed and Breakfast Psalm. I love that title. Crouching down between the stalks makes me think of the children of the corn. Living here where I live, I pass fields and fields and fields of stalk on a daily basis, and it's like it always brings the movie to mind. And one of my daughters cringes. She can't even stand to drive past fields of corn. So anyway, but I liked it, the ending there too, while dumpling, sopping demons crave. One of those, oh, wow. So it's an old 4-line 10 and a new 4-line 10. Way cool. Such a show-off. I just, these ones are way too tough. I don't think I've tried one since I got my one lonely little 10, just saying. It's probably not even a 10 anymore, but I don't care because it's, I don't know how you do it so easily, Stephen. But really, really cool poem. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
Hatter, what you think?
Have you ever showed up to a fight a couple minutes late and it's already over? That's what just happened to me. I just was getting there.
You missed it. You missed that TKO, huh? All right. I will see what my sweet thought.
I love it. I kind of agree with you that it's got that Children of the Corn kind of, but it's so sophisticated, you know. It's listening as the footfalls walk. I love the last line. While dumping, sopping, demons crave. It's like, it's edible. Like, it's a soupy kind of thing. Between the stalks and the dumplings and, you know, I don't know. It's almost like, I was reading Kay's comment, and I love, you know, the creeper wants a new bride. I don't know, it's just creepy all around. But it's serious and kind of sultry. You're not quite sure what kind of footsteps you're listening to, but it's, I don't know, I just got this mysterious, sultry kind of thing going on for me. It's got that mysterious mystery. I really like it because you're not sure what's coming for you.
Thanks, sweet.
Very welcome. You know, but I
my older brother and we spent some time up on a farm in Idaho, and my brother had Queensland blue heeler, and her name was Amy, and I would take off down the road from the farmhouse, and then I'd dive into the cornfield, and the cornfield at that time was probably about 2.5-3 feet high. And then I would dive down, and Bob let Amy go, and she'd come running down. And it's just to see, she would take two or three steps and bounce up and look around, and take two or three steps and bounce up and look around. It was hilarious in a cornfield. But there is something spooky about a cornfield when it's fully grown. It is spooky.
Absolutely.
Up in Nebraska, we're doing a dog event called Dogs in the Corn. Hence to Hatter's story, it was hilarious just to think of that. Little dog sneaking out.
Yeah.
Dogs in the Corn, yeah. We're coming to get you.
Really high, look around, man. Try to find me.
Yeah.
Implement.
Wayne, will you please comment for Steven? Before we go into yours?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in trouble out there in the cornfield. It's not a very good place to hide in the fall time. You can see colors through the field and you hear somebody walking through it. Christian, probably in the fall, it's bad to hide out in the cornfield. It's wonderful brevity, and you use a lot of good terminology in the poem. And congratulations on the team. Good job. I like it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comments, everyone. And my four lines started some pretty cool conversation, Stephen. Who'd have thought? All right, let's see here. I have Wayne's on the board, and, of course, he made us an audio clip. So when you tell me that you see his recording, and I will push play. And, Stephen, if you hang up before, say hi to Kay for me, please.
Ditto.
Okay, right. Here comes Wayne Jen.
This is called, this doesn't taste right. I think you need to add some salt to this roast. And you know I told you I don't like burnt toast. This has to be the worst food I ever ate. When Mom was here, food was great. This meat sure is tough. What could it possibly be? Sometimes I get the feeling you're poisoning me. I don't think my dog would want to eat this. And this wine is flat. Tastes like piss. I didn't like when you decided to move in. You never did act like you were Mom's friend. I don't believe Mom got mad and ran off. Why would she leave me when you was out playing golf? By the way, where is Rocky? I have not seen him today. He's usually in here barking, wanting to play. I heard you last night out in the shed. At 3 a.m, why were you not in bed? Something doesn't seem right. What did you do? This morning looked like you had blood on you. Wait, what is this I'm chewing on? It's hard. And what is it holding in the backyard? What did you do with Rocky? Is he dead? I think I'm calling the police after I'm fed. You're not going to get away with this. You in?
Oh, my gosh. Wayne.
Any questions?
I kind of think that sweet story stuck with you and you sort of played with it some. And that poor dog doesn't taste right. This meat sure is tough. What could it possibly be? Sometimes I get the feeling you are poisoning me. I don't think my dog would want to eat this. And this wine is flat. Tastes like piss. Wayne, your trip, You're really a trip. By the way, where is Rocky? We haven't seen him today. And I was like, oh, no. He's usually barking and wanting to play. And I thought, uh-oh, it's one thing when you kill the people around us, when you start picking on the dogs. I'm looking forward to Sweet's comment for you, just saying. And you're ending that sound effect there. That was too cool. Really fun piece, Wayne. Who would have thought by looking at that picture that you would have killed off the dog and ate him, or he would have got killed off and you ate him? But wow, fun share. Oh my gosh, Stephen, what you think?
I thought this was great, and I'm glad that I was muted because I started to crack up as soon as I got to that wine that tastes like piss line, because there is nothing worse than piss wine. I thought that this kind of made me think a little bit about your rib shack, too, and I was just thinking about it. Maybe you can write a little song to it, right? Rocky the dog was cooked over logs, and maybe a copy of Gideon's Bible. This is really awesome, Wayne.
Thank you, Stephen.
Don't forget to say hi to Kay, Stephen, and thank you for calling. Hatter, what you think?
Night, everybody.
Yeah, I got that impression of Pet Cemetery, where that cat comes back.
Church.
So spooky. Yeah. No. Yeah, it was good right to that picture. I can see where it came from. Too many questions. Reminds me of my grandma. What happened to Grandpa?
Oh, man. That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome comment. And my sweet, he killed the dog. What'd you think?
Oh, my God. Did kill the dog. You did the ultimate crime. And now you must die. You must beware the sweet revenge. Careful.
Careful.
Careful. Because my poem has things you will fear in it.
Oh, no. Oh,
no.
But I love you.
Love you too.
Great comments. Yeah, that was really priceless, Wayne, truly. Let me come over here and see what else is on this board. Okay. Oh, man, that was too much fun. All right, let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I wonder what happened to David. It's looking like it's definitely going to be right around an hour, maybe a little bit more. All right. Okay, you added yours. Sweet, how much time do you have?
I'm sorry, Deb, what?
How much time are you staying? How long are you staying? How much time?
The sooner the better.
Okay, then I will grab yours now.
Okay, that's great.
I was just grabbing the link for Ms. Heavenly Angel. Let me go get my sweet link. And
he needs to answer to me anyway.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Got to get it on before he has to go. So, when you see it, show us what you brought.
All right. This is Betting on the Wrong Devil by Sweet Pea. The soft linen deckled edge invitation, scribed in old English calligraphy, established a moment of regret or intrigue in the timeline of memories. Top hats and fancy feathers on garter belts frame the evening's atmosphere. Cigar smoke, a whiskey straight, and red lipsticks created a hand-selected group with distinguished preferences. Catacomb caverns of delicate desires, chocolate indulgences in ribbons and lace, or strawberries and cream, a sweeter taste. Secrets kept for saints, craved, ye sinners. The rattle of chains echoed through the halls, pompous personalities of false curators paraded to the auction hall, waiting to bid on the arts of a morning star. In a moment of shame, evil fell to the flesh and granted kindness. Gained self-respect, she handed hell's master her chains. She his puppet, and he played the cruelest of games. Her body displays the sanctimonious whims of his manacle mastery of weapons, the canvas of his artistic expression. The ignorant lack foresight and power when greed devours the ability to be human. Enter Dante's realm in 3D vision. Captured for centuries repeating this scene, calculating her rival in the demise of Lucifer's reign. Need for attention was the weak link in his chain. Conjuring the guardians of her ancestors and promising the hearts of the young, she spewed her revenge. She cremated the catacombs and cursed the gates of hell. Flames of rubies and rebels reshaped her wings of terror. Declarations of tormented fairy tales perished the princess's lore, where stories were embellished by scribes of the ancient world. Word of mouth and ego sought to be heroes. Priests refused her story. Time to redact history's lack of the rhetorical. I am the devil boys. Gabriel was never a man. End poem.
I am the devil boys. Gabriel was never a man. Oh, I like the twist there, dear heart. My, oh, my. In a moment of shame, evil fell for the flesh and granted kindness to gain self-respect. She handed hell's master her chains. She's his puppet, and he played the cruelest games. That part, I don't know, I love that stanza. A little bit further down, conjuring the guardians of the ancestors and promising the hearts of the young. She spewed her revenge. She cremated the catacombs and cursed the gates of hell. Great wording there, cremated the catacombs and crushed the gates of hell. Your details are really gruesome there, and I love it. Flames of rubies and rebels reshape her wings of terror. I mean, such amazing descriptions all throughout this. And like I said, it bears repeating that ending. I am the devil, boys. Gabrielle was never a man. And it's of all, I think it's badass how you pulled in the archangel. Never a man. Brilliant as always, my sweet. Brilliant as always. Mr. Wayne Jen, are you scared of her?
Thank you.
Get the hell out of me. This is spooky, and you are the devil's boys. This is it's an eerie poem that is well written and has lots of details in it. I like the conjuring up the gardens of the ancient ancestors and promising the hearts of the young. That's it says it all right there. It's you're pretty bad in this poem right here. So you did a good job writing it. Great terminology and spooky all the way through. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Mr. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, you guys picked the same stanza, the conjuring of guardians. She cremated the catacombs and cursed the gates of hell. Now, Gabriel, he was the horn player for the band, wasn't he? Gabriel sounds the horns at the gates of heaven. Is that right?
Yeah, Gabriel was the angel that was cast out of heaven to be actually... the devil. He was turned into the devil. He is supposed to be Lucifer.
I didn't know that. I thought Gabriel blew the horns. It was very well done. That was the best stanza, conjuring the guardians of her ancestors and promising the hearts of the young. And she spewed her revenge. She cremated the catacombs and cursed the gates of hell. Hmm. Dark. Dark.
Fabulous. Hatter's going to read next week, so try to stick around for that one. But before he reads, you want to tell us what's coming up?
Yeah, this Thursday we are sticking to the plan, and it is Bring Me Your Monster, Bring Me Your Legend. I'd love to hear what you've got to say on either your local legend, your favorite legend, your monster, whatever haunts you, terrorizes your nights. I'm very much looking forward to this show. And then next, the following week will be my ancient words of the past. So we're just popping that and bringing that back since it was on last week, and then we will be ready to go.
Sounds awesome. Can't wait. And Hatter, show us what you got.
Okay. All right, Why the Eyes of a Cat. It's written to the history of during the Black Plague, women that were alone, that lived alone, rarely got the plague. And the reason being that the cats, that they had cats, and the cats ate the rats who carried the fleas. So they associated cats with witches. And there was another incident where cats were banned. I can't remember the reason why, but they were almost exterminating them. So this is written to that. Why the Eyes of a Cat. If you see what they wish to do, the evil penned in front of you, they wish you to peck and have no regret. They want to bite you too. Don't trust the ones with narrow eyes. They roam in the dark with deadly, like deadly spies. Watch them chase the ghostly sounds. They can see those things that float around. They do not forgive the killing of cats in league with witches and vampire bats. Again in history, the bounty to kill. At night they gather atop of the hill with plans to repay against your will, our will. We live in trust, but they want to repay us. That's why they're air is like knives. simply said, they wish us dead for how we ended their lives. Beware the cats that loves our laps. They are living a life of pretend. I followed one night, and to their delight, they are planning to seek their revenge. Here, kitty, kitty, you look so pretty. They have fooled us all. So when you hear meow, it means somehow. Oh, I didn't finish the line. They will. Oh. I didn't put the line in. How stupid are we?
They will purr over us as we fall. I know it doesn't fit, but anyway. I wonder what happened that you didn't finish it, Hatter. Because you were on a roll.
I must not have saved it. I don't know. Sorry about that.
No, and it goes so well with the picture of Church in the picture because he's got blood coming down his forehead, obviously after he got hit by the car and came back. I always thought that was a really cool name, Winston Churchill, and they called him Church. But back to the poem. I wish you to pet and have no regret. They want to bite you too. Don't trust the ones with narrow eyes. They roam in the dark like deadly spies. And, you know, there are some where their eyes just look, for lack of a better way to put it, evil. To be honest, for the longest time, I wasn't the biggest fan of cats, maybe for one because I'm allergic, but it just seems like even the ones that act friendly, you know, would, like, get a kick out of scratching you with them razor claws, you know. And then little by little, people would have cats and both of my daughters each got a cat, and like Angel Boy, we would sometimes call him Freddy Krueger because he would get a kick out of, like when my son will kill me, when I potty trained the boys, they did the best when I put on longer T-shirts so it hid their good stuff, and I let them stay naked because they seemed to, without that pair of underwear or pull-ups or whatever it is, they found it easier to have to run to the bathroom because they didn't want to pee on themselves. So imagine climbing up the steps and having this Freddy Krueger cat smack you in the butt. Well, my one son always had scratches on his little tushy because of the cat. So anyway, you just never know what they're thinking and whether – and on top of that, they like to bite to show affection. Well, it hurts. So, you know, your instinct isn't, oh, I love you too. It's, ow, you son of a beep. And you know, so it's just like I like how you played with that. And we live in trust, but they wait to repay us. That's why they stare as like knives. Simply said, they wish us dead for how we ended their lives. I mean, I've never ended their lives, but very cool, Hatter. And I'll be anxious to see what you decide to use as your last line there. Hey, kitty, you look so pretty. They have us all fooled. Yeah, they do. And they seem, I can't say it about mine, because if I call him, he comes. If I say sit, he does. I've never met a cat like this one. But it's like you did an awesome job. Fun share, Hatter.
Thank you.
First off, I love the last stanza. So when you hear meow, it seems somehow they will. And you leave. I know you think you didn't finish the rhyme, and that's fine, but you leave the mystery. Because you know, you never know what these little bitches will do. They will taunt you. They will scratch you. They will bite you. They will claw your eyes out. So I do believe that that is differently done on purpose, because it's like a fill-in-the-blank, what will an evil cat do to you? I don't know, because you can lose a toe, you can lose a sock, you can be scratched, you might need stitches. You have no idea. So I really like your last thing, because it's a total mystery what a cat might do to you. Some very large cats could eat you. The cat is the only animal that if a dead person lies in a room full of them, they will begin to eat the corpse. No dog will do that, but the house cats, they don't have a problem. Put two or three of them in a room with a dead corpse, and hey, it's lunch for a few weeks. They don't have a problem with that. So yeah, I like how this ends, because they will, what? It adds to the spookiness of this entire poem. I dig it.
They will.
I know. I wish I could debate that, but I've seen it. I've never seen a news broadcast where they said and the dogs ate their owner. Those dogs laid at sides. I've seen it where the dog stayed outside of a tombstone, where they sat at the casket. But I have seen news stories where when they found that person, their cat or cats had started to eat them. So it is creepy. Thanks for that image, sweet.
Yeah.
And Wayne, what do you think?
I don't know about no cat eating no owner. I hope they don't eat me. But Barbara, since you started reading, Barbara jumped up and started meowing real loud. About, she was going crazy like for something. I don't know if you got her, made her mad or what, but she sure is upset. And I think we'll let her outside for a while. I think probably, she'll like your poem a bit, but I think it's a great poem. You did a good job with it. And cat, beware of the cat. They will come after you. So great job there, Hatter. I love it.
Thanks.
Awesome comments, you guys. And I'm going to read. Before I read for Angel, let's say hello to David. Hello, DW Prophet. How's it going, Dave?
Hi, Deb. Hey, I just got my power back on. I've been sitting around in a dark house for about 3 hours, and it just came back on, so I just got my system up and rolling again.
Oh, well,
I didn't
want
to miss
your
show.
Yeah, I'm glad it came back on. We were missing you. Way cool. All right, well, if you click on Angel's poem, I will get that one read, and Wayne wasn't feeling well, so he had to go. Feel better, Wayne. Beware that cat. And the three of us will get these poems taken care of. So, Hatter, do you see angels?
Running down the hall. Whoa, sweetie.
I moved it down to the bottom.
I got heavenly angels. Yes, you bring me to
life. All right, here we go. This is called You Bring Me to Life by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. It's you. You surging through my veins. No other description but liquid fire, like fireworks bursting in apple reds, burnt oranges, and sun-drenched yellows, flowing within cleansing, purifying my soul. You, a nectar sweet as fine wine, when our lips met in one drink of love sip, our souls have touched. No denying we were meant to be here at this very moment. You, breathe life into me. Allow me to lose myself in your wildly seductive aura. And the poem. And on top of it, I have a feeling that there's a little nod in that art, that cowboy in the art there. Very cool. I like where this was taken. She does tend to write with a cowboy, so just saying. This is really cool. I like the descriptions of the liquid fire in her veins, the colors, the sentiment. Fun share. And I always like being her reader. Her poems seem to take me over there. Way cool. What you think, Hatter?
Yeah, it's good to that picture. I think he's holding a whip too, isn't he? Where's the part?
I think he's got a gun in one hand, and it could be. Yeah, it looks like it might be a whip in his back pocket or something. I'm not positive, but he's definitely
got it. Yeah,
that's
what it looks like to me.
See the gun in his right hand.
This is her attempt at dark writing.
I think this one's more sensual. Last week was consciously dark. This is sensual.
Yeah. It's like you can't write dark without a little sensuality in there.
Yeah, even when I try it, somebody says, I can't help myself. I'm just...
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
You know, then you got Sweet, you know, who could drag you through the bowels of hell.
And she can even do that sensually at times with that voice, right? We just can't help ourselves. What do I say? Cool comment.
Really?
What do you think, David?
Oh, I like this a lot. I think that I really like the middle stanza there. It says, a nectar sweet as fine wine when our lips met in one drink of love sip. I thought that was a pretty cool way comparing a really sweet kiss to some wine. You know, that's pretty intoxicating. And then, I like the last one here, too. It says, breathe life into me. Allow me to lose myself in your wildly seductive aura. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Angel did a great job last week with the poem she wrote, and that was certainly darker than this one. And she did a really good job on this one. I wrote a kind of a sexy one last week. But... You know, you ladies outdo me every time. I don't know what I'm doing when I write that stuff anyway. So this was really a nice poem. I liked it a lot. I like the way she took this. You know, I like the I like cowboys anyway, Ship, you know. So anyhow, yeah, this was cool. It was a really great poem. I liked it a lot. Good job, Angel.
Awesome comment. I'm going to, okay, let me see here. I'm going to try to change up the voices some. So what I'm going to do, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4, we only have 5 left. So I'm going to put Bill's on, and we'll listen to his recording. And then I'll read for Jenny, and then I'll have Dave do his, and then I'll read for Jay, and Dave can read for Bill, and it'll be like a boy-girl voice going on here, and then we'll be done. So click on Bill's, and I shall push his recording.
Yeah, Shirts and Skins.
Do you see his?
Yeah, I've got it.
Got it? Okie doke. Then here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Meet Me at the City Gates. The battle has just begun, and we are fighting for our lives. Meet me at the city gates where we can escape the bloodshed. Bring your sword. Bring your shield. Bring your sweetness. Though you act brave, I can tell by your eyes that you are scared. The scared child hiding behind the skirts of womanhood. Massacred screams are the backdrop sounds we inhabit. Daughter, run for your life. Never look back. Don't be Lot's wife. Leave me, my child, for I will just be a burden to you. Soon my soul will leave this fractured clay pot. Do not burden yourself with grieving, for I have lived. I have lived a full life, and now God is calling me home, where there is no war, and our tears are wiped away. Meet me at the city gates, where we will depart in peace. You, to the bosom of a husband who is loyal and true. I, to the celestial city, where the streets are crystal clear, escorted by angels to see my master's glorious face. Father and daughter embrace with tears by the city gates, oblivious to the sound of war that falls all around them. For this moment, nothing can steal away the peace they have, until they feel the edge of a sword pierce through their joy. End poem.
Well, if you take a peek on the chat wall, I added the art that he wrote to, so you can see the gate. And I found myself thinking, wow, more than once. The details are so brilliant. The battle has just begun, and we are fighting for our lives. And sadly, because of everything that's going on in the world, Meet Me at the City Gates so we can escape the bloodshed put a lot of the different news stories in my mind at the moment. The second stanza, the scared child hiding behind the skirts of womanhood, massacred screams are the backdrop sounds we inhabit. Daughter, run for your life and never look back. Don't be Lot's wife. Leave me, my child, for I will just be a burden to you. And there was such sadness in there, you know, a parent saying, you know, leave me. Meet me at the gates, meet me at the city gates where we can all depart in peace. And I just, like I said, it keeps bringing me to current events and wishing for peace for them. It's just, father and daughter embrace with tears by the city gates oblivious to the sound of war that falls all around them. And if your child was missing and you got up to them and got to embrace them crying, I could see the rest of the entire world melting away because you're so oblivious to everything except the fact that you found them. So the details here are absolutely brilliant. He brought that art to life in full living color there. Fabulous share, as always, Phil. Thank you. Our story poet, what do you think? David?
Oops, I had my, I'm sorry, I had my mute button down. Yeah, this was good. It was really sad, though. You know, I was listening to him read it, and I was the storyline is really good. It's very picturesque, and it forces you to pay attention to the storyline in it, and it's because it's so well written. And I felt really, really pretty sad, you know, the whole way through this thing, because the father's ready to go to his maker and he wants his daughter to get the hell out of Dodge and get back with her husband. And yeah, it's just a sad state of affairs. And just like you said, Deb, it's timely and it's kind of like what's going on in the whole world today. I tell you, in all my 76 years of being on a planet, I've never seen a beat of it. And not lately anyhow. So anyways, yeah, it was a really well written poem and I liked it.
Great comment, David. Thank you. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, the one stanza that daughter, run for your life, don't look back, don't be Lot's wife. Yeah, that he Lot's wife looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah and turned to a pillar of salt. So that was a good, I like how we weave that
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was very good.
Awesome comment. Okay, let's see here. The next one on the board is Jenny the Deep. I'll read for her. If you guys go ahead and click on that. Got it, Hatter?
Yeah, got it.
Awesome. And I'm noticing that this is a gold-awarded poem. So congratulations, Jenny. This is called Fluttering Away from Lies on Butterflies by Jenny the Deep. Here we go. Riding on camouflaged wings of butterflies, I flutter away from your webbed, lavish lies into turquoise tantalizing skies above onto cloud nine where I find devotional love. Masking the pain buried deep down inside, I hide a guarded chrysalis disguised. Opening up my delicate woven heart is what damaged me from the start. Escaped your web of devilish deception to deliver truthful telegrams to heaven. Short-lived victory overturned by a scandal, something love may not be able to handle. Unimaginably unstable, unsteady unity, torn apart by malicious moth-like mutiny. Ooh, what an ending there. Torn apart by malicious moth-like mutiny. Now, you guys probably don't know this, but Jenny, I don't know if it is or was, but she was in the battle hive that Sweet and I are both part of, and I could see little nuances from that there, like the weight that escaped the web and that malicious moth-like mutiny. A lot of the lines brought me to the viciousness of battle. There was some pretty clever alliteration in there, and making the pain buried deep down inside, I hide in a guarded chrysalis disguised. And it's like, you know, you're cocooned in say a fetal ball, and you're just hoping it's enough to keep you hidden. And it's brevity. It's not all that long, but you could feel it. You could feel the emotions. As I was reading, I think it came out really awesome. And I like the thought of fluttering away from the lies on butterflies. Like if you could just take flight with them and leave all the crap behind. What a great thought. And again, congratulations on that gold, Jenny. Great job.
Yeah, I guess telegrams in heaven are all truthful, to deliver truthful telegrams to heaven. That's a good, I like that angle after the butterfly lies.
Awesome. And David, can you comment on Jenny's and then read us your sleep?
Yeah. Gee whiz. I'm getting to really like Jenny's work. It's really fun to read, and it's marvelous. She's a wonderful poetess. I like the third stanza, escape your web of devilish deception to deliver truthful telegrams to heaven. Hatter said about that one, short-lived victory overturned by a scandal, something love may not be able to handle. The rhyme and stuff in this is, and the meter is really good. It's got a real interesting storyline to it. And, I understand why it won the gold right now. So anyway, that was cool. It's a great job, Jim. Really good. Okay. Oh, there we go. Are you ready? Okay. You ready, Jeb?
Yes, sir. I was just about to ask Hatter, and he said got it, so we're good. Take us away.
Okay. All right. This one's called Derecho in Red, and I don't know if you guys know what a derecho is, but it's the next best thing to a tornado, only it's straight line winds, and they really howl, and they can do as much damage as a Category 5 hurricane. So anyway, this gal looked like she was capable of that. So anyway, it goes like this: elemental in red, bow echo driven, storm warning tis said, nothing forgiven ahead. Two-timing double-edged sword of the heart cuts lavender lineage instead. Excuses awkwardly wedged, twisted lies full-fledged, right from the start. Face-to-face guilt-edged, reflections cast in black art. Stirs her storm-scale rotations, forms her elemental squall line, apricot-orange shift of her cations, convective available potential energy sine of theta, prime in 45 degrees, output in joules per kilogram, stirring up her wall of wind freeze, the fury of her straight line grand slam. She'll huff, she'll puff, and she'll blow your house down and most things all round. Stare in disbelief as she flattens your town, an orange derecho of bewilderment. Behold her howling sound, your life blown in amber asunder, pitchfork lightning and electric blues, echoes in the sound of thunder, storm in ghostly hues, her face floating inside the storm clouds, round and round inside the mesocyclone, she goes chasing the terrorized clouds, derecho in red, looks not to atone, fierce beyond all measure, never have I seen such fury. Total destruction, her only pleasure, forced through her hatred's venturi. Her straight line winds exceeding Category 5. Her conscience will not rescind. Survivors lucky to be alive. Cotton candy and gunpowder slows the wind to a gentle breeze. My child, release thy painful offender, the dark mother's velvet pleas, in long wave RF gravitational waves that shakes this slice of space-time. Be not your heart's savage slave. tears as rain fell as her anger sublimes. My queen's dark energy lips kissed the forehead of the Duratio's amber countenance. Dearest red, thou shalt never be missed. I shall always see you in my never-ending glance. And it came to pass that the winds became a gentle breeze and returned as it had always been. Gunpowder and cotton candy hung lightly upon the air, and I had tears in my eyes. End poem.
Wow. Wow, what an ending. It came to pass that the wind became a gentle breeze and returned as it had always been. Gunpowder and cotton candy hung lightly upon the air, and I had tears in my eyes. Oh, my goodness. Wow. And you got me on that. The thought of nothing being there but that scent, it is really, you know, you get invested in stuff when you hear it. And David, you've had us reading about the Dark Mother and that cotton candy and gunpowder for years, and the thought of it just being just in the air is really sad. You know, and mm-hmm. I really like this stanza, too. Fierce beyond all measure, never have I seen such fury. Total destruction, her only pleasure, forced through her hatred, Venturi. The thought of never being happy except for total destruction is how you get your pleasure. That's wicked. I mean, wow. And I know I'm doing this backwards, but I can't help it. That's how they were hitting me. Stirs her storm scale rotations, forms her elemental squall line. Apricot orange shift on her of her caution. Cations. Convection mm-hmm. available. Potential energy shines. Got it. Okay. Wow. And up further, too. Twisted lies, full-fledged, right from the start. Face to fate, gilt-edged, reflections cast in black art. I kind of think you had fun sinking your teeth into this one, Dave.
I did.
The storm warnings and the colors that you used and the descriptions. And then, of course, you always show your brain throughout with stuff like the Theta Prime and 45 degrees and the joules of per kilogram and, you know, all the little things that remind us that you're kind of an intelligent guy with the space stuff. And I can't even imagine the extra that you learned to make the Dark Mother's story seem so legitimate. So, like, it's this mixed bag of a little this and a little that makes the story so realistic that by the time you get down to the end with those tears in your eyes, you feel it. Wow. Who'd have thought? I didn't know where you would lead with Dark Mother in this one, but you find a way. It's like she just whispers in your ear and you run with it, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Really nice comments. I appreciate it.
This is why we call you our storyteller poet, just saying. What'd you think, Hatter?
Yeah.
A quick question. The CAPE, the convection available potential energy sign, is that sign as in cosine tangent? The algebraic?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
Convective available potential energy actually exists in the weather vernacular. If you go down to the bottom of the, there's a, in the author's notes, there's a glossary there, and it's an acronym for convective available potential energy. This is a formula for establishing how much instability in joules per kilogram of air the atmosphere contains. Usually a rating of 200 joules per kilogram is enough to support tornado genesis, and I've seen it as high as 700-800 joules per kilogram of air, and that's just insane. But Yeah, it's,
you mean on a planet, on a different planet, atmospheric, or are you talking space?
No, this is our atmosphere, and and it tells how much instability each layer of air has. It takes about three or four different things to spin up a tornado, and CAPE is one of them. Instability,
okay.
And then you have to have shear and some other stuff. So, you know, anyhow.
I get it now. I thought you were talking about other atmospheric places.
No, just quite older.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thanks.
I'd like to see that equation. What was another?
You can find it if you go on Wikipedia and type in. CAPE, you know, instability or weather or something, it'll show it to you. I looked at it, and it's kind of a complicated thing, but
what,
anyway.
What application? Just weather? Or are you talking instability of gravity and around the planet? No?
No, it's
okay.
Well, see, air, you know, instability in air is it is marked in a couple different ways. It has to do with the dry and wet adiabatic lapse rate, or how much how strong the lifting currents are or updrafts are in the atmosphere.
Each layer.
Yeah, and it's marked, if it's really unstable, it'll have a negative indice on it. It'll say like a -4 or -6. And if it's positive, that means it's not doing anything. It's basically tapped off and it's stable. And, you know, on these tornadoes, you have these, you have a shear line that comes in from the west coast and goes around and the jet stream, and it crashes into weather from the Gulf of Mexico, and it all comes together right in the middle of Tornado Alley. And then if you have some instability mixed in with it, it's likely that you're going to have tornadoes here and there, you know.
That would be the reason the supercell goes vertical then, instead of staying horizontal, right? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and it goes all the way up. Those supercells will go clear up to like 60,000 feet, and if there's no cap there to keep them down, they'll go up until they run into the jet stream, and then it blows the top of them over, and they call out a back sheared anvil. And those things can go downwind 100 miles. You know, you'll see those supercells with those trailing domes on them, you know.
No, it makes sense. That's what they hit in order to go vertical. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, all the updrafts are pulling that stuff right straight up in there. And we don't have them out here, although, now get this, listen to this. They had a tornado warning out for Clark County in Vancouver, Washington, and we don't get tornadoes up here. But they had one the other day that came down. It was like an EF0 or something, you know. And we get these little weak ones once in a while, but not where I live, but around, I don't know, for some reason, up around the border there between Washington and Oregon, they form up there sometimes. But anyway.
Tell us more, Mr. Science. Sorry, Deb. I didn't mean to get into web.
I told you
I'm
he
sorry.
Had a big brain. right. Okay. Click on Jay's poem, JCA's poem, and I'll read that, and then we'll get David to read Bill's, and those are the last two for tonight. So do you see JCA's poem?
Yeah.
I did, no, hold on. I got not yet. Let me go back. I do now. Got it. Running down the hall with scissors.
Deb?
No running with scissors.
I hate to say this, but I can't see each poem because of some settings on my page, if you get what I'm saying. I'm ignoring him.
That's all right. We got it. I understand.
Okay.
All right, man. Go ahead, Deb.
Oh, I was talking to the mute button. I'm actually grabbing his art and putting it on the board so that you can see what he wrote to. I'll have it there in just half a second. And, okay, here's the art.
I like the title.
There we go. That's his art. And I will read. This is called Yeehaw. Sorry, wrong one. Just a minute.
What are you looking at?
No, I clicked on the wrong one by accident. Here we go. This is called Matt Was a Sniper by JCA. And here we go. 1. 10 before 11 near the county park. Leather veterans passed the FOB tails. As smoky Afghanistan and Iraq smoke is coughed from battlefield lungs. Matt was the emerald ghillie shrouded sniper, hitting scarlet marks miles past eyes. Smith survived the IED that flipped the sandalwood Hummer as his gunner was gutted from titanium abdominal shrapnel. 10 left homeless in a civilian country, neglected for the chimes of politicians, a system never garnered by military, yet sold to people as caring because they say so. Blue light special, neon, the October night's air, Halloween practices of a tasteless law where the hard hands gather the soldiers' cattle in the backs of police cars to satiate a political slate. 2. Matt went to Congress, purchased a church, homeless and out of work, but the sapphire stained glass windows frosted with mossy money slapped him for the pocket lining, senator stuffed in the clergyman's cloak. Charcoal priest pushing him out of oak doors. Do not give to this type. The government has it in their hands. Hands filled with COVID blood. Pockets lined in Technicolor Franklins as veterans starved in city streets. 3. Fingers still stroke gunpowder triggers. Homeless veterans are secondhand rubbish, flailed by political administrators into copper trash bins, brought by voting constituents while lining mouths with baked guinea fowl, purple blackberry wine. Matt is released by the court to stave a hunger he cannot pay, leached by the justice that bleeds him under the Halloween moon. Wow. In his author's notes, he said he had a good talk with a fellow veteran and found out that for all the good we've done, the plight of veterans in the United States is getting worse. And I agree. I've touched on the subject many times myself, many times people pass them in the street and act like they're scum, like gum stuck to your shoe. You just want to scrape them off and go by. And like between the stress and haunting and post-traumatic stress and being haunted by the things that have been seen and done, let alone the physical, which is already horrible, but the mental emotion and it's just the way we use and discard it is horrible. And I just, like, I wish I could do something for Matt, for many of them who get buried by red tape. if anybody bothers to do that much other than bury them. And then after giving so much for us so that we can sit here and do a poetry show, we ignore them. Or we wait until we need one as a symbol of war or a way to push our political careers because we do something nice for one. And we only did it for the fame of doing it, not because it was something out of the bottom of our hearts to do it. And Matt's story is sadly one of countless that these things happen to. I mean, and I know quite a few vets, and most of them, with the exception of one or two of the ones I know, they don't want to talk about the things that they see, that they've seen,
that
they had to do for us. And imagine closing your eyes and reliving it over and over again. Imagine when you're out there watching the fireworks on a holiday, what the sound of those fireworks is doing to some veteran somewhere in earshot and the post-traumatic stress that it triggers in them. Little things that you don't think of until you talk to a vet. And, you know, on a different note, when I go to a store or wherever the case may be and I see, even at my last doctor's appointment, there was a really old gentleman in there and he had his hat on. And I said, thank you for your service. And just something that simple can change the way they feel, at least for that moment. I think the very least that somebody can do is when you see a vet, say thank you. It's one of the easiest. And then, you know, it touches them because I'm sure that most people just walk past. And that's a sad thing. And, And Jay, thank you for your service. Very tragic how so many vets are treated. And, Jay, I like that you brought attention to this because it's a sad truth that we should all be ashamed of. Anyway, I'll get off my pulpit now.
Can I say something?
Cutter, what you think?
Can I say something, Deb?
Yeah, please do.
One of the things that really packs me off a lot is I see some of these guys, you can buy a lot of this military gear, these boonie hats and stuff like that. And, you know, I was out at the airport one day and I watched and I looked at this guy and he had on a beret and then he had on greens and the green beret in the Army. I don't know how they're doing it anymore, but when I was in back in the 60s, the green berets had that green beret and then they wore their dress greens and then they wore their jump boots and of course they were all spit shined and all that and they bloused their pants into their jump boots, okay? And then they had any medals that they were supposed to, you know, any unit citations and stuff like that, you know, they wore them on their greens and stuff. And I saw this guy in there and he had on some Master Sergeant stripes on his sleeves, and then he had some First Lieutenant bars on his lapels, and he had this green beret on, and he had two ropes around each shoulder. One of them was an artillery braid, which is red, and I was supposed to wear that, and then an infantry braid is blue. It's light blue, and it goes around the other shoulder. And whatever active unit you're in is supposed to be worn on the right side. And same thing with the patches, unit patches. And he had a first cav air mobile patch, which is huge, on his left side. And then he had a 7th Infantry Division patch on his right side. And it didn't make any sense to me. And I walked up to him, you know, and I said, where did you serve? He says, oh, I was over in And I said, you were, huh? And he goes, yeah. I said, how old are you? And he says, oh, I'm about 25. And I said, you weren't even born when Vietnam was in full tilt. I said, don't give me that shit. I said, how can you be a master sergeant and a first lieutenant at the same time? You know, and he turned around, started walking away from me. I said, hey, don't walk away from me, damn it. You know, I said, you're a phony. And you know, once this recognition started filtering in to the general public about the vets and saying thank you for your service and stuff, then all these lame dipshits wanted to get into that limelight, so they started wearing uniforms and stuff, and they hadn't served any military at all, you know. And you know, that really hit me the wrong way.
It should, yeah. I call them posers, and I've seen,
yep,
the same thing where they've had the hat on, and people looking at them that they never served a day. And then, you know, you ask
that's
a question,
right,
and you find out stuff like that. That's disgusting. Totally disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting.
Sad truth,
yep,
but disgusting. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, those posers and the ones that spit on our soldiers and such back in the day have no idea what the soldiers go through. I think a wounded warrior should live like kings. They should take the money from the dirty politicians and set these guys up for the rest of their lives.
There you go.
It's shameful. Shameful. Because
they
have no clue what they go through. I will admit I'd never served in the military. But I know guys that did, and I respect them totally for it. To pose as a soldier is probably the biggest insult you could make to another soldier.
Yeah.
But if you're wounded, the way they treated the VA is failing, and they should live like kings,
mm-hmm,
in this country, and they don't.
Yeah.
It's a shame. And these politicians just get richer and richer, doing nothing. They have no idea.
Yeah. That's right.
To live in a
world.
But this is a very good, JC. When he mentioned the church, the man went to the Congress purchased church. That's a state. That's a heavy statement.
Very true.
You can tell JC served because he uses terms and phrases that somebody that didn't would never come up with. Good job, JC.
I've seen him, some pictures of him in his uniform and stuff, too. The man's been through a lot, that's for sure. One last time, thank you for serving, JCA. And, okay, let me see here. David, the last poem of the night is by Bill Schiller. Can you see that?
Is this the one that says Reflections of Serenity? Oh, that, I found it. Okay, I got it. All right, here we go. This is by Bill Schiller, and it's called Yeehaw. Across historic sagebrush prairie, throat dry as desert dust after dawn, the holstered guns grow heavy, expecting their next kill. Quick triggers may not know deathly touch of hot lead and steel. It's not only cow-stamped with burning brands before hitched to wagon wheels, boot heels and duels at sunrise. Beside brothel born into saloon, only when moved out western into the distant mesas of far wides, a hostile bastard can set course beyond horse's bridle to be endorsed as Gold Star Cowboy Buckaroo, given the sheriff's title. End poem.
Unmuted. Deborah.
Oh, I'm talking to the mute button. Darn it. Thank you.
Yeah,
I hate when that happens. And I was muting because I was typing and I didn't want to pick up the noise in, in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to find his art so that I can show you it. And there it is. Okay. Because it'll make a lot of, not that you didn't get the story, but it'll make a lot more sense when you see this art that I'm about to put up there right now as soon as I get back to voices, because he's mentioned in the sheriff, and you can see him right now.
Deb, how come some of these folks don't put their picture prompt on as a banner on her poem?
I think probably because they don't have a gold membership.
Yeah.
You don't need a gold membership for that. Silver will do it.
You need a silver or a gold. What you do?
They have any membership at all. And
oh, okay.
You have to have one of all them to be able to put art. And in some cases, the poets just don't use art. But, in this case, it's because of he doesn't have the membership. I thought the across the stoic stage brush prairie, throat dry as desert dust after dawn. Throat dry as desert dust. It sort of goes with like the Wild West kind of feeling. Before hitch to wagon wheels, boot heels and duels at sunrise. I like the details. Quick triggers may not know deathly touch of heat, lead, and steel. It's not only cow stamped with burning brands. And like the sun will fry you and you get branded by that. So I thought that this was a pretty clever brevity, and it went really, really well with the art that he chose too. Awesome share, Bill. Thank you for supporting the show and appreciate it. And Dave Prophet, what you think? You read. Tell me what you think of the poem.
Oh, I thought it was really well written. It was really descriptive of horses and Wild West stuff, you know. it just reminded me of that. When I was younger, my mother and my sister used to have a couple, two or three horses all the time. I was around them constantly. And even though I wasn't interested in it, it rubbed off on me. And so, and then, of course, I was always interested in guns and had tons of them and that. And so the whole thing woven together like this, it makes an interesting poem. And it's very picturesque and descriptive. And only when moved out western into the distant mesas of far wides. Once you start getting out from the Midwest and you know, from Kansas on out, it starts, the range out there is phenomenal. And so are the mesas and stuff, especially in Utah and Wyoming, northern Wyoming, and it's pretty neat. So, yeah, this was a neat poem. I liked it. It was fun reading it.
Thank you so much. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, a little different. I see the picture does it, explains it more. It makes a little more sense. Then up to the west, where's the part? It's not only cow stamped, branded and burning brands. Yeah, it was well done. A different way of looking at, like I said, the picture sort of needed there to understand the right. Very good.
Great comment. Yeah, I figured let me grab it so you would see where like the sheriff was at all, you know. In some cases, it does change the way you look at it as soon as you see the art that goes with it, you know? All right,
I'm not familiar with the name. Has he written for us before?
This might be his, like, fifth or sixth time. He's fairly new, but, yes, he has. I think the first one was actually a Saturday, and I don't think that you were able to come to the show that night. And then he's done a couple of the Mondays now. I'm not sure if he's done other ones, but, yeah, he is starting to participate more and more, which is very appreciated.
Welcome, Bill.
Yep, glad you're here. And, okay, so let's see here.
Cowboys win.
Yeah, the last minute there, I just saw that. Okay, now, if you click on the link that I just put on the board, it is to next week's show. The artist is Stephen Mackey, and he's got some really clever art because it looks old-fashioned, but yet there's old-fashioned and spookiness combined. Like if you would think of it as the kind of art you would see in a museum on paintings, but then turned spooky. Like even the, I think the one is like a play on, say, Alice in Wonderland, and she's blindfolded, and there's a strawberry shortcake. There's a wolf hybrid that's got bird wings and the little girl hiding in the closet, and there's skeletons and spiders and ghosts, and they're really cool. He's got an interesting approach to art, and I'm anxious not only to see what you guys bring, because I'm always thrilled with everything that you write, but I'm anxious to see who chooses what in this case, because normally I like to say, you know, how I think of my friends and I try to put three or four pieces of art that I think would appeal to each person. And this one was a little bit harder because of the way he goes, except for my suite, because, like, there's one where they're cutting someone's head off with a guillotine, you know, stuff. There's gas mask and stuff, and suite can jump on the darkness in any kind of way. But I'm anxious to see what everybody else chooses and see where they run with it. So I'm looking forward to that. And, again, that's next Monday night at 10 o'clock. Just click the link and choose your art and run with it.
Right.
And on that note, I want to thank AP Taylor for being our sponsor and one of the board members, along with Sweet Pea and Jay Hatter. Appreciate you guys very much. And I want
You're
to
welcome.
Say thank you to Stephen and Angel and Phil and Wayne and Jenny and JCA, and Bill, and David, our storyteller poet. Appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart, and I look forward to getting to hang out again with you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Ha-ha, couldn't resist. So we have next week, and then the following week is All Hallows Eve art, and then we will have done a whole month of darkness. So have fun with those prompts. Then come back and dazzle me like you always do, because I look forward to hearing you each week. The shows are special because each of you are there. And, again, appreciate you very much. And one last shout-out of a thank you to JCA. And we are sitting here having fun doing poetry because JCA served. Thank you to all who served. I do what I want because of you, and I appreciate it. And Matt, I hope things go better for you. Next time you see a vet, say thank you. It'll mean the world.
I'll take
sure.
number 12.
Okay, write it down, Heather. And on that note, I think I will say you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And every once in a while I like to make that phrase because Hatter likes to hear it. He's like, what is that you say sometimes? They don't have to go home. And I'm like, that's what it is. So closing time. And
I thought it was your quote. I thought you quoted that.
Oh, no, no. It is actually just a line from a song.
Yeah.
And it's by Semisonic, and it's called Closing Time. And on that note, love and respect, guys. Appreciate you.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey, your beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home.
Jacob Schlichter. They are best known in the U.S. for their single Closing Time. They also had international success with the singles Sleeping in My Sleep, Singing in My Sleep, Secret Smile, and Chemistry. After their breakup, Wilson and Munson joined up with drummer Schlichter to form band Pleasure in 1993. By 95, they had changed their name to Semisonic, an extent a Pleasure was released that year on Boston inside label of Cherry Disc and the studio's full-length Great Divide. Their breakthrough came 2 years later when their second album, Feeling Strangely Fine, reached the top 50 charts on the strength of the hit single Closing Time, their biggest hit in the U.S. During 2008 performance in Harvard Sanders Theater, Wilson said that it was originally written about the birth of his first child. Their international career also blossomed when another song from the album, Secret Smile, quickly became a UK radio favorite in the summer of 1999, eventually peaking at number 12 on the UK singles chart. And again, that was Closing Time by Semisonic. And like they said,
and what year,
you don't have home,
what year,
but you
what year did
stay
they
here.
Post? Did they say what year? Because the reason I asked is I thought maybe I'd heard it, because when I was a DJ, that's what I would close with. I'd say, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I don't know if I had. That was in 84, 85.
So, I'm sure. I'm sure there's something close to that in some other song or some other way, but for them, they didn't start 1995, so maybe they heard it the same place you did and used it in their song.
I don't know. I just, told the people, you got to go. We can't stay here. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people say that. But anyhow, we are out of here. See you next week for Stephen Mackey Art. Looking forward to it, everyone. And Patter, go eat.
I'll see you before that. Go eat something.
Go eat, yeah. Love and respect.
My arm hurts. I will.
Yep. Night, everyone.
All right. Bye, David. Thanks, Jade. Bye-bye. Meet